I'm like, Lord, what is this? You know, and the Lord says to me, no, these people, they are actually trafficking these kids.
So this is like something that's it's fully orchestrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was planned to happen on a particular
hierarchy.
Like, yes, yeah,
exactly. There's a child who's laying on the table. She's cut from top to bottom. Okay. But the face is beautiful. She's intact. What I saw, no mother should see anything like that. No father can see something like that, and no child should actually go through something like that. This man is literally doing things that you're not supposed to do to children. And I'm hearing bones crackling. We started praying, and you know, some children, they are gone. The Lord will say, this one is with me. He will say that, this one is with me. I actually asked the Lord, and I said, but Lord, why do you need us to pray? Because you can do this thing. And the Lord answered me, and he said to me, I've been through the most,
been through the most. Hello, Saint Fam, and welcome to another one. It is I've Been Through the Most podcast. I'm Innocent, and I am with my lovely twin sister, Millicent. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. Whether you're watching on YouTube, listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, welcome. This show is going to be so much better because you are here. And of course, you need to interact, because what we're going to be talking about today is a conversation that is so important.
Necessary.
Yeah. And I know you guys are really going to enjoy it. It's extremely informative, and we are excited.
We're excited. And of course, if you want to share your story and you want to sit on the hot seat, make sure to send us an email, the email address down below, and also interact with us on our digital social media platforms, Instagram, X, Facebook. We are everywhere. We look forward to your likes, your comments, and your shares. Let's get into our story today. Who do we have, Millicent?
Oh, we have Umam Sheila today. I know you've heard me talk about
so
her
so many times.
Because a few years ago, I shot a movie, and then there was a female director, honey,
who's Christian
who is black, and I was like, this is the first for me getting on a movie set and the director is a black female. I was like, wow, and I absolutely loved it. Welcome, Mom Sheila.
thank you. Wow.
No, it was a moment for me. I was like, oh wow, this is so different. I think I even mentioned to you, I was like, wow, I love this. And I think that we need more females in the industry, you know, and I'm excited.
You know, I actually remember the time when I you know, I got you by the hand and I said, do you pray? Can you pray in tongues? She's like, yes. I'm like, come, let's go pray. And we were praying a storm because, hey, it was hectic on that set, you know. But yeah.
I mean, have you ever experienced it? I mean, you've been acting for years, right?
No.
It's a, like, this is like an entire movie what you guys are talking about.
It's a
like
movie.
The director and the talent praying on set, because you can just feel that this atmosphere needs prayer. Yeah. But you see how God like wants to use us actually to dominate every space in every industry.
Yes.
Because it needs us to be gatekeepers as well, and to be the spiritual anchor. And I mean, that's just testament of that. I love it.
And we need to work together again.
I know.
Ma'am, we need to tell stories, right?
Yes. It's true, yeah.
No, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And for those who don't know who you are, can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes. My name is Sheila, and most people, they will call me Muruti, you know. But I'm not a pastor, but I'm actually called as a prophet. You know, so I guess that's why, you know, when one is on set, you start feeling certain things, you know. So it's not necessarily what I knew at the time what I was called to be, but I knew I could see things, you know, but I thought everybody else gets to see these things. Yes, I thought that was normal. So up until a little bit later, and then when I start, you know, seeing or knowing, you know, other people don't actually see what I'm seeing. So I started studying, you know, in regards to what is happening in the Bible, what are the prophets, you know, what do they do, what do they have, why is God speaking to them like this, why do they speak like this, all of those things. And I learned a lot just from that, you know, instead of actually going and seeing other people doing the prophetic, because sometimes, you know, it's not even what the Bible actually says we must do, you know. So it's better to just follow what the Lord is. Exactly.
Because you know, there's a scripture, and I always say that it says the spirit of a pro-
prophet is subject to the prophet, because I see how the prophetic is these days, and how it just, if I can say it like that, and how people prophesy to shame people and to, for attention, for trending, for whatever. And I'm like, what has the prophetic become?
Such a beautiful office. It's actually my favorite, you know, flowing in the prophetic. But what it has become, I think that's just like the scary part. But let's get to what you are here to talk about today.
Yes. You know, the reason why I introduced myself like that is because one has to understand why I do what I do now. You know, yes, I come from, you know, being a film director. You know, I've got over 20 years experience of that, you know, and but then I had to stop all of that and actually enter into ministry. But that was okay as well. You know, I've done what needed to be done. It's okay, you know, but now this is another calling, and you can see how that actually has, the filmmaking side has actually, you know, translated into how I do things today, you know, because there's a lot of discipline, as you both know, you know, there's a lot of discipline when it comes to filmmaking and things like that, and you have to be like that also in the things of God.
That's it.
So, about last year, usually I minister, you know, online as well, and I minister everywhere else.
Even but on TikTok.
Yes, on TikTok. Yes, I'm also on TikTok. Yeah. You know, and I was ministering in the morning, and then right after I finished ministering, then I get to see these visions, you know, and and you know, they just hit me by surprise, because I was like, Lord, what is this? Because they were so gruesome, the things that I saw. I'm not sure if you will be able to, you know, but the first thing that I saw at the time, I saw a kumbi, right? And you know those kumbis that take children to school and stuff? And then instead of actually going into the school, it moves, you know, it doesn't go into the school, it continues. And then I'm like, Lord, what is this? You know, and the Lord says to me, no, these people, they're actually trafficking these kids. Oh. But what the Lord had said at the time, it's almost like something that is being organized. So it's not just that kumbi. There's other people that have organized this thing. And at the kore, it's almost like that one day, it's all going to happen like that. You know what I mean? Sure. And I saw like these taxi drivers, they look like the, not taxi drivers, but kumbi drivers, bomalume, you know, and they are all standing there, and there's somebody that's speaking to them. It's almost like the money man or somebody, you know, somebody who's in control, who's
so
telling
this
them
is like something that's fully orchestrated. And it was planned to happen on a particular
hierarchy.
So, and then right after that, then another vision comes in, you know, while I'm still like, okay, what's happening here? Another vision comes in. I see a lady. She, you know, these small clinics, right? The you can give birth in those clinics. It's not like a, it's not a hospital, but it's the clinics. So I see this lady, she comes in, and there's babies that are there, and I already knew what she wanted to do there, you know. So I'm like, Lord, what is this? And I remember I even like screamed and I said, hey, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but you know what I mean? It's like, hey, what are you doing? You know, and then she turned, you see, and then I'm like, Lord, what is this? The Lord says to me, no, she wanted to take the baby. Okay. And then right after that, that one, I see in a boardroom. Right, the boardroom has like almost like an oval type of table, right? And then around this table, there's people, you can see these are the elites, right? There's a child who's laying on the table. She's cut from top to bottom, okay? But the face is beautiful. She's still, she's intact. But from here all the way down, she's open. There's no organs inside, but there's blood, right? And I see these people, they've got you know those pens, man, the ones that have feathers that you dip in inks. They've got pens like that. They are dipping in the blood and they are signing papers. They keep on doing that.
But they're using the blood from the child.
Yes.
I see.
And I'm like, Lord, Mara, what is this? And this is the second time I'm seeing something similar to that. It was so hectic. I'm like, okay. So how do I pray about this? You know, because I don't even know where to start. Yes, I'm a servant of God, but this, how do I even pray about something like this? This is too heavy for me. Okay. And then the Lord says, you guys need to pray for the children, you know, because of this whole child trafficking thing. You pray for the children. You must pray also for, you know, sexual abuse children as well, you know. Okay, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
But anyway, I call for a prayer. A lot of people come. We start praying for the children. Okay, I thought I was
done. You actually did the prayer?
Yes, we have to do the prayer.
Yo.
Yes.
Wow.
So we do the prayers, and then, okay, now I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm done
we
now.
Done.
Yes, you know what? Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, we've done what the Lord has said. Okay. And then there was another time I'm driving. I'm on the highway. You know, what I saw, no mother should see anything like that. No father can see something like that, and no child should actually go through something like that. Okay? I see this child. She is for my 2 months.
Yeah.
Right? She's a baby. And I see this man. This man is literally doing things that you're not supposed to do to children.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing bones crackling. I'm driving on the highway. I am screaming. I am crying. I remember that day I even called the whole entire group. There's about 80 people on my group. I called the group and I said, guys, we need to pray now. We started praying, and we were praying on the highway. I couldn't see properly.
So immediately after seeing the vision, you get into the prayer.
I went straight into the prayer.
Because I'm assuming then these
something
visions
is probably happening.
Yes, I'm thinking that as well, because I'm nervous. I don't know what's going on. Like, what is this? I've never seen anything like that. And I couldn't understand, Lord, how do you show me things like this? This is bad.
Yes.
To see the child crying, she was not even crying, she was screeching. Ooh. You know what I mean?
Because I think that's beyond pain.
It is.
It's just like the body's not even
developed.
Like,
so I see that. And we pray again. Okay, all right, sharp. And I'm thinking, okay, it's the end of the year. I'm done with all these prayers. I'm sure the Lord will continue and do, you know. Right, this year now, the Lord says to me, you need to pray for children. I'm like, Mara, almost done. We prayed last week. And how many times are we praying?
And you know, again.
I know. And like my fear is that I'm going to see things again. And that's not nice. Okay, the Lord kept quiet for a bit, and then he said again, you need to pray for the children. Okay, I'm like, okay, I'll pray. I say that, I'll pray. You know, sometimes we do so many things in ministry, you get tired,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Exhausting.
And you're thinking, okay, Lord, I'll get to it, we'll pray. You know, I'm not saying no, but we'll pray.
Yeah.
That very same night, I'm seeing, in my dreams, I'm seeing my children going through that stuff.
Your
children. I woke up, I screamed, and I thought, Batoma Mudim, Lord, what is this? You know, now there's no way you can't pray like that.
Yeah.
You have to pray now because
he brought it close.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
it's
what
like
he
I've
was
been
doing.
Trying to tell you, but let me bring it close so you understand the urgency.
Yes, that's exactly what he was doing.
Mm.
And from then on, I was like, okay, Lord, tell me what I need to do so that, because I know for a fact that I cannot pray for all these children by myself. It's too much. There are too many. The Lord says to me, okay, get a list of these children, right? And so we go to Missing Children SA.
Mm.
We get a whole entire list with pictures. It's worse when you see the pictures of the children that are missing.
Because you see, it's real.
It's real.
This is not a joke.
And also when you read, or how did this child get lost?
Mm.
It's the simplest thing. It could happen to any child. It's not because the mother was irresponsible or anything.
Yeah. Not even.
Exactly. It could happen to any child. And you see this one, they will say, no, he was going to school and then he never came back. This one came back from school and they never came back.
And
this
these
one,
are minors.
Exactly. This one went to the shop, you know, never came back. This one was with their friends, never came back. You see all of these things, and the Lord said, you need to pray for each and every one of them individually.
Not as a group?
Not as a group.
Uh-uh.
Individually. I was like, okay, Lord, it's fine. We'll do that. So how do we pray for this? Mm. Ask me. I'll talk to you.
Mm.
Okay. So we print out the list of the children. and we go
the actual cases.
The actual cases. We go into the database here, SAPS, right, for missing children. We download, print out. Mm-hmm. We start praying.
What an assignment.
You know, and yeah, I'm, and I'm asking people, come, people, let's pray together. This is important, you know. So people came. There were people who this was so close to their heart. Yeah. And they came. We came together. We started praying for these children, one by one. You know, when God speaks about these children, you can feel the heart of God that he loves each and every one of them. Some of them, they ran away, but he loves them. And I would say to people, when you pray and it says here they left without saying where they are going or they ran away, pray for that child. If that child is under 18 years old, he's still or she's still a child. They don't know what they are doing. You see, you still pray for them anyway. Even if you still pray for them. It's fine. You know? Okay. And we started praying for these kids. The Lord will tell us.
So you're mentioning them by name?
Every single one. So how we prayed, we took, each person would take a picture of a child. We go to our corners. We sit and we listen first. We
don't what the Lord,
to what
is,
the
saying.
Lord is saying about the child before you even utter anything about that child. You see, that's how we're praying. It was quiet, but the thickness of the presence of God, it was there. You know, because God was there and he's concerned about these children. And then we started praying. And, you know, some children, they are gone. The Lord will say, this one is with me. You see? Yes. He will say that. This one is with me. Some of the children he will show us. This one, this is how this one actually died. You know what I mean?
They're not like, okay, so they're missing. Yeah. And then because you obviously just connecting and praying and really asking God, like you can already see that you're not praying for this child to be found.
No.
This child is already passed. And at this point, like, you don't even have a right to call the family to say, no, it's not your place.
No, it's not my place.
It's so complicated.
Yes, it's not my place. But what I can do, then I have to ask the Lord, so how do I pray for the situation? The Lord will say, pray for the parent, pray for the mother, you know, pray
closure.
For, you know, and then pray that this child must be found even though, you know, they are gone.
Exactly, for the closure,
you see, so things like that. There's a little boy, I think Kikudwano, I don't remember his name, but there's a little boy, you know, we've been praying for that boy for like, I think 3 times we prayed for that boy, you know, and he was found and he's not alive. You see what I mean? The little girl that, something had happened. I think they broke into their house, and there's this beautiful girl that was, you know, online. Everybody was praying for her. On the day we were praying for that child, and I said to the Lord, Lord, is this child safe where she is? And the Lord said, yes, she's unharmed. And I said, okay, Lord, so can this child be returned home? And what I could see, it's almost like she was actually taken care of where she was, which is kind of weird because but then how, you know what I mean? So I guess at the time I'm thinking, okay, maybe, you know, Hasibatuba, they're not the people that, you know, would want to harm children. Right. They just want to do the crime. That's it, you know? And then I said, Lord, please, can this child go home today? Even when I said that, I was not declaring and I was not telling God. I was asking. I was desperately asking and saying, it's enough now. You know, this child is with people that she doesn't know.
Strangers.
So, Lord, please, can this child go home today? You know, I promise you. Literally, Boma, 2 hours after we've prayed, we hear the news. What is this child is back home and she's unharmed.
No
you don't
way.
Know. You know, when I say this, it's not... It's not even about, yeah, we prayed, so the child has been found. What this shows us is that when we pray, God does answer.
Amen.
You see what I mean? So
He moves.
Yes, he does. He moves. So where people are, we need to be praying for our own children. God truly, truly does hear our prayers. Mm-hmm. The mere fact that he shows us where these children are, the mere fact that he, you know, he tells us, you know, what's happening with these children. Some of them, they are on drugs and they are sitting there. They don't even want to go home because they are scared. Or mm-hmm. What are they going to say? Yeah. And then, you know, and then we must pray for that as well. Yeah. Say, Lord, may you give them the urge to want to go home. And may the parents, when they receive this child, may they just be happy that the child is home. Back, may you deliver this child from this bondage that this child is in of the drugs and everything. May they remain children, you know, up until they grow to be what they need to be, you know. And we pray so much for these children, and it is so tiring as well, because it's the whole entire day, every single child by name.
This is not like you're just praying for a financial breakthrough and then you have it. No, these are human beings, these are minors. So emotionally, you as a parent yourself, when you get invested, you get exhausted because emotionally it's draining, because you feel the pain, you feel the emotions. Like, I'm sure you're so drained after that. Like, oh.
You know what I want to ask you is, you know, one would say, I see all of this, but why do you think God allows for certain things to happen? Because, like, why do we think God is waiting for us to pray? Can't he just save the children? Why did he need intercessors to step in? You know, what is your response to that?
You know, that question I actually asked the Lord, and I said, but Lord, why do you need us to pray? Because you can do this thing. And the Lord answered me, and he said to me, Sheila, when you pray, most of these children, when they pray, they don't know how to pray, number one, right? So when you pray, you stand in the gap so that you are saying yes on their behalf, so that I can now step in and do something. Because of free will that we have, God cannot do beyond us inviting him to say, come and help
come
me.
On.
That's why we need to pray. So hence, even in the Bible, it says that we must pray for one another. Sometimes you might be a prayer warrior, and that day you don't even know what to say to God. It's hard to pray. But when we pray for one another, it becomes much easier. And we are saying, you know what, I'm raising my hand and I'm speaking on behalf of this one. And I'm saying, Lord, please may you intervene. And that's how it works. So it's not that God does not see what's going on. It does not mean, or it does not hurt God to see his children suffer like
God
this.
God loves children. Can you imagine how his heart breaks when they are in a position of danger and they can't speak for themselves?
Also, the Bible says, in this world you'll face many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're not you know, pro going through things. It's part of the journey.
It's part of
and
it.
I also feel like that's where we experience God. That's where we find God. When we do go through those things, when you know that my strength is not sufficient for this kind of battle, I can only do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. I actually need God. So he needs us to be in those positions where we actually see that the world needs God. It needs a savior, but a savior, he's the soon coming king. So he is here with us, yes, in spirit, but the return of Jesus, we need that. So we need to get to a point where we know that we cannot do it with our own might, our own strength, our own intelligence. We need the supernatural power of God, and we need the prayer, because we also have to let the flesh die, and we need to connect spiritually, because some battles are spiritual as well. So I want us to talk about this, but more in a spiritual sense, to say these things are happening, yes, in the physical, but they actually start in the spirit. This is why you also experience them through visions first, because they were already happening in the spirit before it's happening in the natural.
No, it's true. I wanted to just go back to what you were saying, because that's very important for people to understand, you know, that when we go through things, everybody goes through things. The Bible does tell us that it rains on everybody, the sun shines on everybody. But when I ask the Lord that question, why, especially when it comes to servants of God, why are we suffering like this? Like, Lord, you know,
it's even more when it comes to servants.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's just extra. So yeah. The Lord said, how else will you know?
Ooh.
How else will you know that I'm here?
Mm.
And he showed me, like, you see, Bona Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den. How else would we have known that something like this can happen, that God is like, God exists? Yeah. The three Hebrew boys, how else how would else? You have known if they were not in the fire?
Shadrach,
you
know? Exactly. How else?
How else would you know? So if you look back, I always say to people, look back into your life, right? What happened back then, and whatever that you overcame, was it by your own power or not?
Woo.
Because every single time you see God, there's a trail of God in everything that you overcome. Mm-hmm. It's not you overcoming it, but it is him who overcomes it. And you just need to be in him. Amen. Amen. So you wanted to, you were asking about, you know, the spirit, the spiritual side of this. You know, servants of God, the spiritual side of this is as clean as it comes. People should not try and you know, fluff up the things of God.
Right.
When God begins to speak about these things with us, he speaks as clear as day as you and I when we are speaking.
Yeah.
When you see these things, you see them as clear as day, right? And then, but what happens with the children spiritually and things like that, I cannot say what's going on with them.
Mm.
But what I know for sure is that the people that God says to me, look at this child, she's now with me, right?
Mm.
I have comfort within myself that she's not suffering anymore. Ooh. She's with the Lord. Amen.
Mm.
And then when it comes to the children that, you know, they are going through all of these things and they're still alive and they still have to heal from all of these things.
And traumas.
I also take comfort in the fact that God knows about their lives and whatever it is that they've gone through.
Mm.
I promise you, it's going to be a testimony for somebody else. Amen. So for me, I don't necessarily, though the Lord shows me spiritually, I don't dwell in that, because I think if I dwell in, I'm probably going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because there's too much that's going
really
on
is
there.
Too much.
And what saves me from not dwelling too deep on that is that, you know, I follow God like an idiot, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, I'm fine with that.
Yay.
To a point where I say to the Lord, Lord, with my free will, I don't want it anymore. Can you take it?
Yes,
I will do what you want. Anything you want, even if it makes no sense to me, I will still do
it. As long as it's got you in it.
As long as you say it. You know, I will not instruct you. I will not ask you. I will ask you only what you want for me. Because if there is something that you want for me, I know it will be the best for me.
For you.
Amen. Ooh. Rather than now I'm thinking about, oh, maybe I want this and I want that. Lord, can you do abracadabra? Yeah. There it is.
Yo.
You know, because those things... I might not even enjoy the things that I've asked for. Rather ask for what God has, you know, has in store actually for you. But spiritually, I urge, you know, people of God to, if you want to do anything spiritual, just, you know, yearn to hear from God.
Yeah.
That's my, it's a recitation for me.
Yeah.
Yearn to hear from God. Once you hear from God, you will never go wrong, even when you ask, because you'll be asking in his will.
In his will.
You know? So stay away from, hey, oh, I don't know, you know, dihoho, Satan, Winzing, Washawatima, you know, all of that stuff. It's like, yo, hey,
it's a lot.
I don't even want to know, you know. I always say to people, oh, sorry, you know, once you enter into wanting to know what the enemy is doing, you'll never finish.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's too
and
many.
And it's going to be so destructive. It's exactly where he wants you.
Exactly.
It's
so,
a door.
Yeah, it's
that
a
you
door.
Just
you
don't
always
want
wanting to know. Yeah, no, Satan don't get this. So, yo, Jezebel, yo, yeah. You
and
know,
you obsess over it.
Yes.
There's no way you will be able to finish that war. What you need is the commander-in-chief.
Come on.
Who will tell you, now move.
Sure.
Now stop. Don't do it. Go that way, do that, and that's how we get to win. Not by us understanding the tactics of the enemy all the time, but by you understanding the instructions of the commander-in-chief. That's the only way
that's
you can
it. And the Bible does say, seek ye
first
yes.
the kingdom of God and yes. his righteousness, and all of these things shall be given unto you. I really love that. And you said that's how we win.
Yes.
That is so powerful, because that's how we become everything that he promises us to be. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last. That's constantly winning, but it's in him.
My question is, so in your ministry, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, you get those reports from the police and everything. So do people come to you then directly? Parents who have said, my child is missing, or, you know, are people reporting these cases to you as well?
Not necessarily the actual, but the other day, actually, when we were praying, we had somebody whose, you know, child is nowhere. But the Lord did speak and say, no, he's fine, but where he is, there's other things that are happening, but, you know, we must pray that he must return home, you know, so at least that's comfort for them that the child is not gone, you know what I mean? But I do get like a lot of, even this morning I was getting, you know, I get a lot of messages to say, there's another person, there's another person. So you're constantly in prayer. Even now as I was sitting, you know, and I was looking at that, I'm like, oh Lord, please, you know, may this person please return home safe. You know, may you cover me. You know, you pray as much as you can, you know, for the people.
Do you invite the parents to also come and pray? Okay, good.
Yes, I do. Yes, please come and pray with us. You know, there is a space where we pray, and it's in Rodibot, in Horizon View, it's in the West Rand. And we do have a number. I'll give it to you later. I don't know it off by heart, but a number if there's maybe a missing child. But I urge you to first call the police, then you can call us, and then we will pray with you, you know, for whatever it is that the Lord is saying. And also, I'm not here to make miracles. I am not a miracle maker. You know, God is. So if God is speaking, I will speak. If he's not speaking, I've got nothing to say. But I will stand with you and pray with you, you know, for the Lord to intervene, you know. So, and we need to do that, because if we don't, people come and they think you're going to be their savior. I'm not the savior. God is the savior.
But the comfort that comes with that, I think for me, it's a bigger picture. The fact that nobody understands, but because you are in this assignment now, you understand the pain as if it happened to your own children. And I think that's where now the dream comes in, when you dreamt about your kids, because he wanted you to adopt these kids as your own. You're going to pray for these kids as your own, as though you lost your kids. That's how much I want you to invest in this thing. So imagine now coming as a parent who your child is missing, and you have somebody that is as compassionate, that understands where you're coming from, that feels for you and stands with you in prayer like that. I think that on its own is so comforting, because people, yes, will reshare, they'll retweet, they'll whatever, but then we move on to the next post, you know?
Yeah.
But you take a moment to stop.
Yeah, I can't move on.
You take a moment to stop and seek the face of God to pray for this child.
Yes.
And that for me is something that the police officers can't do. We're not taking away from what the work they do. They're doing their part. But that's another part that I feel that emotionally and spiritually, you get a certain comfort that is so necessary. And God knew that there's going to be a gap. And Sheila, I know you're shooting movies, but you got to cut to that side, okay? There's
and action
this side.
Action the prayer.
Action the prayers.
And also, you know, just to mention this, because it's important, we need to go to the 6 borders of South Africa, right?
Yeah.
The Lord said to me, you must seal these borders with prayer. So no child that comes from this
can
country
pass
can pass over, or any child
illegally.
Illegally. Yeah. Or any child coming over this side, you know, into South Africa without anyone knowing where these children are. You have to go there. And I'm sitting there, I'm like,
because they cross the borders.
I'm only a girl.
Because, you know,
you're a fire-filled girl with the Holy Ghost fire.
And so much responsibility.
Got so much responsibility.
But the border part is so powerful. Because human trafficking, I think what pains me the most with it is that, imagine being, yes, you're stolen with strangers, and then they put you in a different country. you don't understand the language, the people you've thrown away into whatever to become a slave or to become whatever. Mm. And for God to go to those borders, like, you're going to cause an inconvenience for the enemy right there.
Amen.
That don't trespass. These kids are not allowed to leave.
Amen.
Every time I see trains going with these huge containers, or I see boats with these huge containers, my heart almost stops, Sissy, because when you watch movies, that's where they keep these children.
We've seen them.
You don't travel ka business class. You don't...
We've seen them in the containers.
These are very painful.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm. We've seen them in the containers. We've seen them in trucks. Oh. I've seen a truck having stopped because... when I prayed in the, and I don't know how, but that truck, the fuel, petrol,
yes,
it got finished, so it couldn't move forward.
Yes.
It stopped in front of, there was so many people there, and they started hitting this thing,
the kids,
you know, and the kids were inside there. What are these children will be found? There was also another vision that I got where a child was protected by lions. And to me, I was like, Lord, Mara, Luena Mara, you know, like, this is, like, you know what I mean? So you want me to say this to people, you know?
Yeah.
But I said it anyway, you know, to the people that we were praying with. And I said, I'm seeing a child, you know, and there's lions around, and the lions are actually protecting this child.
Mm.
To me, it made no sense. And you know what? There is an article that came out not long ago to say, Hore, there was a child who was found with the lions.
I was
I was so excited, you know.
Oh
my word, you know, I'm not a false prophet, you know. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, sometimes when the Lord speaks, it seems like impossible. Like, how would this be, you know? But you still have to say it because it's the Lord that is speaking, you know. Obviously, when he says, say it, you know. But other things, he'll say, no, don't say that, you know.
People are probably not ready.
Yes.
For certain
aren't
messages.
Ever ready.
So I wanted to talk about, you know, just the prophetic, the office for me, it really does excite me because, especially in the church, I feel like people run to all these other altars and other gods because people get excited by hearing what somebody else has to say about me. Then automatically they're convinced to say, I'm getting to
it's
this.
It's like magic.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
But the prophetic office under the right covering of God is such a powerful office that I feel we need to open it up in the church.
Yeah.
Where did the journey start for you? What were the first things that you saw? How did it happen? And when was the first day where you saw something and somebody else didn't see it and then you realized that, okay, I actually have something that someone else, you know, when did it all come together?
You know, like I said initially, that I've always been seeing things, you know, but I thought that other people are seeing it, you know. I'll be seeing shadows as well. And I'll be like, and I'll be speaking to them, not necessarily because I'm engaging with them. So I'll see a shadow coming past and be like, guy, when I scuttle on papel, and then I just move on, you know. And then people that I'm working with is like, hey, when, who are you talking to? I'm like, can't you see this person? You know, but it's a shadow. And it's not a shadow that is on the wall or on the floor.
No.
It's moving. It's standing on its own. It's like a black being.
Isn't that,
you know,
scary though?
Like, I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared. I don't know why I wasn't scared. I don't think I'm scared of a lot of things.
Because that is a normal for you.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and you would see sometimes, like, I would watch, you know, these, not necessarily watch a horror movie because I want to watch a horror movie. Maybe I'm in passing. Maybe it's you know, and I'm seeing things there. And I'm like, no, but I've seen this before. You see what I mean? They actually, you know, now I don't want to enter into this. But, you know, as a filmmaker, and this is what I also teach people. Us as filmmakers, especially directors, we see in the spirit. It's not that we are being creative. We actually see in the spirit.
Those are things that actually exist.
They exist. The reason why you believe what you are watching is because that thing is real. It's not something that's created. It's
not
real.
Fiction.
No, it's not. It's actually real. Many, many of the movies, many, you know, and you...
I realize that. Like, watching movies used to be a thing of... oh, it's just the imagination.
No.
But now everything that we're watching is actually real.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why even if you watch somebody who's praying, they actually make an actual prayer.
Yes.
So what do you think the witches do? Mm. Because the witches, the real witches must believe that that witch is actually doing it. She's a real witch. So what are they doing? Yeah. You see what I mean? So, you know, with school, we do like a lot of research in terms of how we want these characters to be and stuff like that, you know. So that type of research, it goes far beyond just a human being. It's you have to make sure that the people believe what they are seeing. Right. And that's why I said my career and what I do, it literally like intertwined so quickly and it made sense to me because it's not that I have not seen this before. You've so I'm actually answering your prayer, you, I mean your question yeah. you know, saying, Hore, I've been seeing, but I just didn't know that I'm actually seeing. You see what I mean? And then, this is a very precious story. My mom, she says that I was about 6 weeks old or something like that. I was very small. And she was sitting with me. She was on the bed and I was on, you know, on the side. And she says she saw this man, but she was hovering. This man was hovering from the ground, not too far from the ground, but he's a tall man, beautiful, but I couldn't see exactly his face. But I just knew his name is Emmanuel. My mom at the time, she didn't know who Emmanuel is, you know. And I remember after a while, now we are grown and stuff. And then all of a sudden she says to me, Sheila, who's Emmanuel? No, Emmanuel Kiches. And then I just left, you know. Says, no, wait. Emmanuel is who? And I said, no, it's Jesus. He says, Patong. He says, you know that when you were small. And then she tells me the story. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. Hore, the prophetic is not something you learn.
It's a gift. You are born with it.
You are born with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many things that you get to see in the Bible that are actually happening, you know, in real life. I often say, to answer your question, I often say if you truly, truly are a prophet, it's not just about what you say. It's what you do, where you are.
Yeah. Location. Come on.
Everything about you. How I move. God is speaking.
Yo.
Me being here, God is speaking.
Everything is intentional.
Everything is intentional. Whether you know it or not, everything is intentional.
There's no mistake.
There's no mistake. And I'll show you. Look at people like Bo Ezekiel. God says, sleep on the side, on the one side, for 300 and whatever days. And then he sleeps on the side because God is saying something. So the prophetic is not only what we say. And what we say, it's not something that should come from me. If you ever actually hear me when I prophesy, I speak as God, not like God, as him.
You become the mouthpiece
That's
of God.
The thing. You cannot speak like him because you'll mess it up. You have to speak as him. What comes out, it's not your words, it's his words. And how they come out, the tone that they come out with, it's his tone, it's not my tone. And oftentimes you will hear certain things and then the Lord says, tell them. And you're like, wait, whoa, and you try and like, you know, make it nice. He says, no, tell them. Tell them exactly what I said, you know. And you'll see, and you just see with my eyes, or, you know, now this is not.
It's a different.
This is something else, you know. And you'll see with my mannerism.
Yes,
no,
oftentimes, it changes.
Yeah, people will say, hey, when you know, things happen, things change. Yeah. But also, in the prophetic, there's nothing new. Absolutely nothing new. Nothing. Oftentimes, the Lord will say to me, do this. And I say, "Hey, Lord, this one does not make any sense. Give me an example. Where else has this
happened?
Never, ever would he show me some other prophet out there. He goes straight into the word and says, look at this
one. Invention.
And you read it and you're like, oh my word.
Yes.
The words that he speaks. Because this is what I always say about the prophetic. The prophetic, it's not progressive in terms of there's new things. Mm-mm. It's progressive in terms of how it actually manifests itself towards what was said before.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Sure.
Daniel spoke exactly the same things as John did.
Yes.
John did not speak any new things.
Yo.
It was what Daniel was speaking about. Sure. But then when John came, he was it's not that he's copying from there. God is speaking to him about this. Yes. But he is born in that time. Yes. Sure. So whatever
he's living in the manifestation of something that was spoken.
This is why God says to John, I write the things that were, the things that are, and the things that are to come.
Yes.
You see what I mean? How you know whether the servant of God is truly a servant of God, you must be able to check in that word. And if it's not there, you start questioning things. I'm not saying that God does not do new things. I'm saying, but you start questioning those things until
God. It must align to something.
Yes. Amen. So with the prophetic, you have. How na chansi? I galwana ya kwata ya ngala yo kala. You know, if you ever cried, mami and everything, you know when you cry like that, the Lord is like, you are going to do it, you know, and to show truly Kimudim, most of the time he will ask you things that you actually have to die to self for you to be able to do what God is actually asking you to do. Because we are fairly smart people, you know, we think for ourselves, certain things you don't want to do. You know, but if God says do it, whether it makes sense to you or not, you have to do it. Let's just listen to what God is saying. If you can't hear from the Lord, it's still fine. Read the word of God. The word of God is his word. It's his voice. Amen. So let's not try and hype up God and try and, you know, can I prophesy? I can't. For instance, if you do that, are you telling me that God favors you that much that he does what you want?
Yo.
That's the problem. You know? Are you aware?
So God submits to you.
Because you get to call God anytime.
And you get to get all the glory, by the way, at that moment. You're the one who's flowing with you, being hyped, you being, you're the main character.
Oh, that's why I'm saying, the prophetic is very complicated and extremely controversial.
It is.
You know, where it's like few people get the prophetic right. And for most of the time, how I identify is prophets who are aligned to the word. Yeah. For me, if you're aligned to the word, like for me, if you are prophetic and you're always just aligning things to the word, I can trust you.
Yeah.
Listen. Don't even try and impress me with what's trending.
Yeah.
The word, it must always align. And the prophetic must always edify the church. It needs edify the church.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, lastly, before I let you go, with the human trafficking cases, how is it that we can make it better, like as people, as the viewers who are watching, how can we make it more difficult for the perpetrators? But make it easier for us, whether we are parents of children, whether we are school teachers or preschool teachers, or, you know, how can we make it more difficult for these people to be able to do it?
The first thing that I'm going to say, and this addresses every single leader, bring back prayer to schools. Bring it back. That's the first thing. The reason why these things are happening is because people are not praying. That's the first thing.
The altar of prayer is compromised.
Yes, exactly. You know, with this country, the reason why we have this freedom is because children prayed. Children prayed. They said, We know this prayer. We all know this prayer. And this prayer has been removed from schools. That's the first thing. Now, for parents, teach your children how to pray. The simple prayers, first of all, that you know, that you can teach your children. Lord, be with me and my friends in Jesus' name. That's that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As simple as that.
Just communicating with God,
That's it. And then, you know, as parents, you also need to, we are living in a very different world. And remember that you are born for a time as this. So you know your children are on the internet. They are talking to people that we don't know.
To the world, actually.
Trust me. Mina, I don't play like that. Mina, I've got things that track everything. My children, whether he's doing what, I want to know what's going on there. Not because I want to be, you know, a helicopter mom, but because we live in a time like this.
It's true.
In our times, our neighbors, our parents' neighbors, were our helicopters. So whatever that I'm doing outside, the neighbors would tell my mom. So who's telling us today?
Yo.
No one. So make sure that your children, you are able to know what they are doing on their phones and all of that, because that's how also trafficking happens.
Happens,
you know, they speak to
the
them.
Children,
they say,
make
yeah.
it so much easier because they send location pins.
Exactly.
Addresses.
Stop posting children as well on the internet. It's many people that speak about these things, they tell us, look guys, these people are able to track where your children are. You see,
and they know how they look, they know everything.
And you know what they do? So there was another somebody was speaking about that they take the picture, they take it to these people that are buying these children, and they get to choose which one they want, and they will make sure that they get that child. You will be followed. You know, they will do all sorts of things just to get that child, because somebody's promised them a whole lot of money for that child. You know what I mean? So there's too many of these things that are happening out there. All I'm asking is that before anything else, pray. If your child is lost, please call the police first before anything, so they can start with their work. We will pray on the other side. You're welcome. Yes, well, you are welcome to call us. We can pray with you while you are there. We'll do our best to hear
when
what the Lord
these
is
prayers?
Doing.
Like how can people join? And so when are they happening? Where can we follow you to be able to see when these prayers are happening?
Yes. So we've got, on our TikTok account, there's always, I'm always saying something there. So it's created. So that's CR8AD. That's on TikTok. Also on YouTube, we've got a page there. They can go there and see all the other stuff, even the things that I'm talking about here. Okay. And then there is a number which I'll share that number. Especially that number, use that number. You can send us a WhatsApp, or call us on that number, and then we'll pray with you. In terms of the prayers, I have to hear from the Lord when the dates are.
Okay,
I don't just make up dates. Yeah. So I have to hear from him. And then when the date comes out, and then I'll say, okay, the Lord says we must pray on this day. But in the meantime, every child you see, you pray for that child, whether it's your child's friend, schoolmate, whatever. When you drop off your children at school, you pray for those children that you see, so that the prayer keeps on, being fed, and it flows to every single child. No child deserves this. No child, even your enemy's child does not deserve this. No child.
Not even your enemy's child deserves
you
that.
You love the children, don't you?
Yo. Let us raise the flag for prayer. Yeah. What an episode. Scary, but very informative and eye-opening, truly.
Very eye-opening.
And especially as children of God, we just need to go back to the altar. We need to run back into his presence and really just continue to pray and make sure that we restore. We restore prayer in our homes, in our schools, everywhere. We have heard you loud and clear, Prophet of God.
Thank
you
so much. And I believe that as parents, you can never be too paranoid. You know, parents feel like, oh, maybe I'm too strict or whatever. It's okay to be strict. It's okay to check your children's phone, switch off the location on their phone. I saw someone on TikTok recently posted it looks like a battery. It's like a gadget thing that you put in your kid's shoes so you can track your kid. So if your child gets lost, whether in the mall or whatever, your child gets stolen, then you see the same way your iPhone, you can say, find my iPhone. You can find your child and see if your child is moving or where your child is, So when you do things like that, you're not crazy. You're just taking extra measures to be safe because of the times that we are living in. Please let us be careful. Let us just make sure the enemy does not have his way, especially with children.
Amen. We have come to the end of the show. For myself, Innocent.
And myself, Millicent. And of course, Mom Sheila, who I'm hoping we can do a movie about human trafficking awareness. Let's get her back behind the camera.
All right, guys. It's bye for now. I've been through the most.